Sophie's Parlor is the original women's radio collective. Wednesdays from 3 to 5 p.m., the best music divas on radio at 89.3 FM and sophiesparlor.blogspot.com.
At 89.3 FM, this is member supported WPFW, Washington.
Welcome to Heal DC. This is Joni, and welcome to Chuck, who's on the phone with us. We have a packed show for you today. We have three segments, and I'm going to introduce our first segment, very exciting, two sisters talking about Dancing with the Scholars this coming Saturday. But let me just let you know that after we hear from them, we have a very important discussion with Mario Cristaldo with DC Workers United. And among other things, Mario is going to give us an update about what is happening in DC with ICE and the ICE raids. And then last but not least, in our final segment, we're going to be speaking with, some of you may remember, Damu Smith. We're going to be speaking with Damu's daughter, Asha, who will be talking about the Environmental Justice Award named in Damu's honor taking place this evening. But let me first welcome our first guest with the William O. Lockridge Community Foundation, Angela Chester Johnson and Tori Hawkins Plummer. They both serve on the board of the William O. Lockridge Foundation. I'm going to ask them each to introduce themselves and tell us why they have been excited to be a part of the William Lockridge Foundation and how the foundation serves youth, particularly in Ward 7 and 8. If it's okay, I'm going to refer to them as Angela and Tori. So let's start with Tori. Welcome. Tell us a little bit about yourself and about the William Lockridge Foundation. What is it about this foundation that you are proud of?
Oh, it's so many things, but thank you for having me. Again, I'm Tori Hawkins Plummer, born and raised in Ward 8. So I've been volunteering and doing community work here in Ward 8 since I was a little girl. So I'm very passionate about anyone that is serving Ward 8 with passion, with empathy, and with a true heart to serve. And that is definitely the William O. Lockridge Community Foundation. I am a board member and I volunteer with them because their commitment to serve youth in Ward 8 is something I wish I had when I was a youth, right? If I had a Wanda Lockridge or a William Lockridge, I think that the opportunities that the William O. Lockridge Community Foundation affords students in Ward 7 and 8 would have really helped me out. So now it is my time as an adult to give back and to help youth understand why these opportunities are so, so important.
Okay, great. Great to meet you, Tori. Okay, let's go to Angela Chester Johnson. Angela, tell us a little bit about yourself and why you have been committed to serve on the William Lockridge Foundation. And also, for many listeners who do not know, tell us who William Lockridge was.
Well, good morning. I am Angela Chester Johnson. And I am a resident, and I own a business in Ward 8. I am on the board of the William Lockridge Community Foundation and very proud and very happy to be serving. I am on that board because of what it represents, but more so because of what it does for and in the community. So William O. Lockridge served on the DC Public School School Board, and just was a champion, really, for underserved youth, for all youth, but particularly in wards 7 and 8, and those who were underserved. And so in our case, we serve children in a lot of ways, children and youth in a lot of ways. And those that I think are most significant are, well, we're here to talk about Dancing with the Scholars, et cetera, but we have an annual fundraiser. It's our 15th annual Dancing with the Scholars this Saturday at 7 o'clock at the Arc at 1901 Mississippi Avenue. And it's important because we celebrate our students. We have fun with them. We get school students from our high schools, Ballou and Acostia, Kip. Don't let me leave out anybody, but we have students that typically dance from those high schools, and we have elected officials. We have people who are noted to come and dance with the scholars, and then they're rated, and that's the fun part. But the most significant thing is that we raise a lot of money for that fundraiser, and we raise the money to do other services. We have a scholarship committee, and we give out scholarships, I think, to the tune of 50 or 75,000. Help me, Tori. I think 50,000 last year in scholarships alone. And we don't just support youth in getting in school, but we follow them and we support them with letters and communication and emergencies along the way. And further, we have a Young Ambassadors Program. I actually serve on both of those committees, Young Ambassadors Program, where we teach about opportunities for youth to get like non-traditional kinds of career thinking in their heads, like customs brokers and diplomats and working for the Department of Commerce. And that program is ended with trips to Africa. We've gone to 4 African countries. Last was Angola, year before that was Madagascar, year before that was Benin, and I know there was Ghana.
Yes, yes. And I'm going to try to make sure we get to what's going to be happening this Saturday. But as I was reading about the William Lockridge Foundation, and I was blessed to actually meet and know Mr. Lockridge. I met him at WPFW. He left us at a young age. He could have stayed around with us longer. I believe he worked closely with Marion Barry and many others in the community. But this event on Saturday night is an outstanding, very exciting, inspiring event. I usually have gone there. This is the 15th year. I may not be able to make it this year, but I'll be there in spirit. One of the things that the Lockridge Foundation, I read, is goals are is to bridge bridge to confidence for young people. It provides young people with global awareness and lessons in leadership. And this Dancing with the Scholars is a fun, wonderful event. So quickly describe for our listeners what will be happening Saturday night. If I remember correctly, there's a young people will be dancing with some of the older folks in the community. So, Tori, tell us, describe what Dancing with the Scholars this year will be like.
Actually, it's going to be a little different this year, Joni, because what we're going to have is our students dancing with the coach of their school or the coach that they have selected. So, for instance, for Anacostia Senior High School, the dancer will dance with the dance coach. And usually in the past, what you've seen is student dancers from schools dancing with elected officials. You also see elected officials as the judges. But because it's a sports theme this year, everything is about us being the district of champions. So student dancers will dance with coaches. We will have, local businesses and sports officials as judges and in the audience and a part of the program. So you should expect to come and to get excited, because it's always an exciting show, from the decor to the board members to the people in the audience to the student dancers. It's always such a great event. And I have to reiterate that it's a free event. Also, there's free valet parking. So there's no reason why anyone should not show up if they're scheduled.
Well, and it's a very fun and joyful event. It really is. And Angela, tell You can add to what Tori just said, but tell our listeners the basics. Where is it? When is it? And how can people get tickets or find out more about it?
Well, again, our event is this coming Saturday, November 8th at 7 o'clock. It will be held at the ARC on Mississippi Avenue, 1901 Mississippi, to be exact. And as Tori mentioned, it is free. I like to say free 99. And there's also valet parking.
And the website, because we're just about out of time. Let people give the website or information.
Are able to register online. Even though it's free, we still need you to register. And Tori, if you can help me, I just changed my screen.
Okay, well, maybe that, because we're pretty much out of time, unless you can say that real quick, Tori, the website. Or they can look up William O. Lockridge.
W-O-L-C-F, I think, .bit.ly.
Tori, yes, or William O. Lockridge Community Foundation.org.
Yes, that'll be the easiest thing. Thank you very much, Angela Chester Johnson. Thank you, Tori Hawkins Plummer. And thank you for helping to promote this very exciting and inspiring event that takes place every year. This is the 15th year of Dancing with the Scholars. So have a great event on Saturday.
Thank you. Come out and show your support for our students.
Yes.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Moving right along. I'm sorry to be rushing a little bit, but we want to make sure we have enough time for our next guest, who is Mario Cristobal. He is with the D.C. Workers United, and he was on with us once before, and he has a lot of important information to share, particularly about what's happening with ICE in the district. But let me welcome Mario. Mario, introduce yourself a little better than I just did, but welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Tony. Good morning, everyone. My name is Mario Cristaldo, and I'm the Executive Director of Trabajadores Unidos de Washington, D.C., also known as Workers United of Washington, D.C. We are a community-based organization that fights and advocates and educates our community, the immigrant community, the low-wage workers, and the day laborers in the District of Columbia and in the metro area. We've been around for 12 years now. We started out as an experience with members of our community, community leaders, some organizations related to the some churches. But at the end, the work of all that efforts after 2 years, we created the organization, and now we're very proud of working for more than 40,000 immigrants here in the District of Columbia.
Wow, 40,000. And I know, of course, a lot of is going on with immigrants all over this country, but including right here in Washington, D.C. I know that you recently held a community training for folks on kind of how to deal with ICE or how to be prepared to respond. So share a little bit about that training with us, and if people want more information, maybe they could they obtain that training?
Right. The Know Your Rights sessions that we have every other week here at our community center, Trabajadores Unidos Center, has been focusing on different aspects of the needs and the opportunities for our community in the District of Columbia. Lately, we've been focusing on the impact that the federal government is having over our community. As you all know, with the new government, new administration at federal level, one of the things that have occurred after January 20th is that they the federal government started attacking our communities, our immigrant communities, day laborers, resident workers, and others in the District of Columbia and around the country. And because of that situation, we've been adjusting our efforts to reach out and educate our community to be alert, to be careful, to participate actively in our community in spite of all this situation. And that's one of the ways that we've been dealing in the last 9 months with the Trump administration here in the District of Columbia.
And Mario, how would you say things are going now in terms of these ICE raids? I'm always seeing and hearing just horrible things, but
Absolutely horrible. Mm-hmm. Imagine yourself or a member of your family going to work and not coming back, or being snatched by federal agents, masked and not identifying themselves, and not even providing the necessary documentations to be taken away. We have been experiencing shock, rage, sadness, and all these chaotic elements that bring this type of attacks from the federal government to our communities.
And Mario, would you say things have gotten worse, or pretty much have been the same? How do you hear about these? Or tell us roughly your estimate of how many people in D.C. and then perhaps in the DMV have been attacked or taken away by ICE.
Well, basically, we're working in coalition with other organizations to make sure, you know, we have some numbers, because, you know, these numbers are not provided by the federal government or neither by the local government. As you all know, D.C., unfortunately, our mayor has been actually a very very difficult in actually protecting our communities, and she has not been doing a good job based on the information that we have, including a recent conversations that the press and members of our community had with city council and the presidents of the council, when we will learn that the mayor was trying to get a project that to take the District of Columbia as a secure and city for immigrants. As you know, we are a sanctuary city here in the district. We've been sanctuary city for many years. And now, unfortunately, because of an executive order of the mayor, she's collaborating indefinitely with the federal government. So the numbers are sketchy, but we believe that a great number, more than 300 members of our community has been snatched in most recently, and 40 of them are from our organization. Unfortunately, or related to us, family members that have been taken away. And out of those, only two of them we've been able to bring them back home. All the others are in deportation processes and things like that. But remember, all these issues related to immigration has nothing to do with our communities at local level. This is a federal government issue that they were, for many years, they were not able to come together to create a comprehensive immigration reform at national level that would allow us to navigate the system the way it should be. But we are in the front, in the trenches right now. We're resisting with others in solidarity with other organizations, including Free DC, whereby we're going to keeping our community informed. And so this Know Your Rights sessions that we have every other week, that we can do it here at the in our community center or elsewhere where we are invited, where we also go, we do outreach events and we bring other communities together to be able to better educate our community in spite of this situation.
And before you leave us, you could share how people can reach out to you.
Absolutely. We are on social media, Trabajadores Unidos, Washington, D.C. You can find us there. We have our website, TUWDC.org. And it's another way of getting information and keeping in touch with us. Please visit us here at 1419 V Street, Northwest Washington, D.C. Tell your friends that Trabajadores Unidos is fighting for all of us, including our needs. You know, if you need any help, you know, if your family is in need of food, it's in need of a legal assistance, we are going to be able to direct you to work with others and make sure that we protect our families all together here in the District of Columbia. So thank you for the opportunity.
Well, no, we're not over yet. We still have we have more time with you. And I just want to say to our listeners that we're Mario and I are going to be working together to make sure that he can come on this show, perhaps other shows as well, on a regular basis, giving us these very important updates. So this won't be the last time we're talking with Mario Cristaldo doing such important work. Someone just texted me and asked me to ask you the whole issue with the federalized police versus the local D.C. police. Do you see any, is there anything you can share about that situation? The police that are brought in really by the Trump people versus the police that are hired by the D.C. government.
Yes, as part of this relationship that we have with the federal government, whereby by statute we have our laws and our administration in relationship with the federal government really became a problem even for the Metropolitan Police Department. I would say not the higher rank, but the actual community-based police, the police that are visiting us, working with us, part of the Latino liaison unit of the police, or the liaison unit of the Metropolitan Police Department. We've been working with them for many years, in security issues and issues related to educating a community to better protect ourselves. But unfortunately, at this time. We are in a situation that because some sectors of the Metropolitan Police Department are helping or they're working with the federal government through their ranks, we're having a hard time understanding exactly what the mayor is trying to do with our police force, because we're not supposed to be contributing to this immigration efforts. Police officers are not equated to do that. They're not given the tools and are being misused by the federal government, as a matter of fact. So this is a very concerning issue that we have brought to the police themselves in the past, in recent past. And we're going to continue to be open to a conversation in a manner that we can protect our communities.
Absolutely. And Chuck Hicks, if you have a quick question before Mario leaves us, please jump in.
Okay.
I'll ask, you have one now or should we come back to you?
Come back to me.
Okay, Mario. So, as we know, we're supposed to be a sanctuary city. Tell us what the mayor's position is now. Have you been able to meet with her or others meet with her and ask her how is she's taking down the whole concept or ignoring or dismantling the concept of D.C. being a sanctuary city? What does she say?
Unfortunately, we haven't been able to have any community meeting, town hall meeting related to this issue with the mayor, neither with other members of the administration. Recently, we tried at a community meeting in Mount Pleasant to meet with the community liaison for the mayor. But unfortunately, at the last minute, that was canceled. We're still trying to adjust ourselves to the new situation. Unfortunately, some members of the council also have been talking to us about these issues. There are some very supportive members of the council that have been working with us for many years, including Brianne Nadal from the World One, our council member. She was one of the key players in allowing non-citizens to vote in local election in the last few years. We here in the District of Columbia allow non-citizens to vote in local election. That's another educational program that we're working on with Trabajadores Unidos. But we're going to continue to reach out to members of our government if they want to work with us and want to understand exactly what we're going through, so we can have policies in place that could really have a positive impact in our communities. We have shown in the past that we can do that together with our other stakeholders and the government, and so we're open, you know, to continue the conversation and make sure that we're in the right direction and in the District of Columbia.
Absolutely, and as probably many listeners know, it's not just so-called immigrants that gets swiped up by these these people, these so-called people, but it's people, mostly other people who are happen to be black or brown, are also dragged away. I've seen and heard some horrible stories of people just walking down the street, and ICE jumps on them and drags them away. Recently, in a whole number of young people were witnessing them and witnessing that horrible situation, and it was, of course, very disturbing for people to see. I have two more questions. One, how do you work much with organized labor in the city? Collaborate with them, or how is that? How does that work out?
Well, absolutely. The labor movement has been very supportive of the work we're doing here locally. In fact, they were part initially of the groups supporting us for many years, including Job for Justice, the AFL-CIO, SEIU. We collaborate with them regularly, with LUNA as well, doing training for our community, because the idea is to strengthen our communities here in the District of Columbia through training, through job opportunities, and also to in other events, special events that we participate actively with all of them. So we're really grateful for the support of the labor movement to our movement, which is a part of the informal economy, really, because yes, in reality here, day laborers, low wage workers, are part of the informal economy. So it's a different way of engaging with them as opposed to other groups.
Absolutely. I'm going to ask you one last question. Chuck, if you do have a question, but we're unfortunately we're short on time, but I'm going to ask this question. Mario and I were together this Saturday night where we had a wonderful event, the Paul Robeson Peace and Justice Gala Awards. very, very exciting and inspiring event where many different organizations were awarded, including WPFW. There were fabulous performers, musical performers, and a very inspiring discussion by our own Tom Porter. Some of us call Tom the Godfather of PFW. Tom Porter talked about the relevance of Paul Robeson to the fight against fascism today. And Mario, I know, was excited as well that the Paul Robeson Award this year, talking about labor, went to Jocelyn Williams, who was the leader of the Metropolitan Washington AFL-CIO for over 40 years, a very, very active in many things, the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists. But Josh was also right here with us on the radio with his own show for at least 10 years. And so we're very proud of Josh, and we're very happy that he got that award. We're just about out of time, Mario. Anything
absolutely.
You'd like to?
I just want to recognize that as well, Josh Williams. Of course, he has been in the forefront with us, working together all these years. We're here at Trabajadores Unidos. We're very happy that he was able to get this Peace and Justice Award, in recognizing his leadership and his input. He is an extraordinary man. That's worked with the immigrant community all these years. He's a very strong supporter of voting rights for immigrants, and we're grateful that he was able to get this award. Also, we're grateful that folks, organizers of the event, last Saturday, were able to recognize, posthumously, Arturo Griffiths and Jaime mm-hmm. Cruz, two members of Trabajadores Unidos. Arturo Griffiths was the founder of Trabajadores Unidos, and Jaime Cruz was right with us from the beginning as well, as board member with us. He's an extraordinary mm-hmm. man that have been living in the metro area, helping in healthcare and in healthcare professionally, but at the same time working with the community and being part of. He's also was part of the Communist Party, an active mm-hmm. representative of that. So we're mm-hmm. grateful that both of them have been recognized at this event.
And Mario and his listeners, some listeners may not know Jaime Cruz. He just passed. He just became an ancestor on Thursday. So this is very new. And Mario, when you come back, let's spend some more time talking about Jaime Cruz, just an outstanding person. And a lot of us were quite shocked that he's now gone. But we're going to remember him. Chuck, if you want to say something, otherwise we're going to jump off and move to our final guest. But Mario, once again, just quickly tell listeners how they can reach out to.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I was wondering, what kind of work you done with the young people?
The young.
Mm-hmm. Young folks, we have our summer youth employment program. In reality, it's an opportunity for us to work with high school students in the summer. We've been doing this for a number of years now. That's one way that we engage with the youth, and then they become part of the organizational volunteering, working together in all the projects that we are projects and programs that we have here. So when inviting them to be part of us, we're going to be having an event this December 5th. All day long, and then we're inviting folks to stop by at any time here at 1419 V Street, Northwest Washington D.C.
Okay.
Around the corner from 14th and U. We're gonna be having activities throughout the day, empowerment activities, women's groups, and others, and we're gonna be recognizing the leadership of some of our members throughout the year as well.
I'm sorry to cut you off. Mario, we're going to have you on a regular basis. So again, if people want more information about the wonderful work that this organization is doing, you can just Google DC Workers United, and they're very easy to find. We're very proud of you, Mario. We're very proud of the work you're doing. And unfortunately, we have to say goodbye, but listen to our next segment because it will also relate to the work you have done. Mario Cristobal, 202-847-3187 is the number. DC Workers United. Thank you, Mario. We're moving on to our next guest, and I'm sorry to be so rushed, but we have these important segments. I'm about to introduce, we would play our imaginary drum roll for this wonderful young lady who's joining us. Her name is Asha, and Asha happens to be the daughter of somebody named Damu Smith. And Asha's going to be talking about a special award, environmental justice, that is named in honor of Damu and more. But we're going to start out by Asha and I talking a little bit about Damu Smith. For those of you who do remember him, or those of you who may not know who he was, and I'm going to say is, because Damu Smith, his spirit is definitely still with us. So welcome, Asha.
Hi, Joni. How are you?
We're laughing because I wish we could be together.
But I know, me too. I love you, Joni. I love you.
I love you too. So let's tell people, because some people do not know who Damu Smith was or is.
Yes.
It always shocks me. I'll start, but then you jump right in. Damu Smith was born in St. Louis. He came to D.C., I believe it was in the 70s. Asha can add to what I'm saying, but Damu was and is a fierce fighter for peace and for justice. He had his own show right here on WPFW Tuesdays at 11 a.m. At that point, I was on Monday. We collaborated a lot together, and anyone who ever heard Damu on the radio could never forget him. We're going to talk about his work within environmental justice, but he was also the founder of it, D.C., what was it?
Black Voices for Peace. Yes. BVFP. BVFP. Yes.
Yes. Yes. So he is a hero to many of us. And Damu was actually a really wonderful person in real life. I had the honor to see him in certain situations where his kindness and his commitment to people, I'll never forget. But Asha, I know we don't have much time, but share with us a little bit more of an introduction to your dad for people who didn't know him.
Yes, Damu Smith, like you said, a beautiful human being. He was a peace and justice activist, an environmental justice activist. His show was actually, as you mentioned, Joni, WPFW Tuesdays at 11, and it was called Spirit in Action. Mm-hmm. He was an amazing host of that show. He worked with Greenpeace USA. He was a pioneer in the environmental justice movement. Not only did he work with Greenpeace, but he also helped to co-found the National Black Environmental Justice Network, NBEJN, mm-hmm. the National African American Tobacco Prevention Network. He worked so hard and tirelessly to end toxic terror in predominantly Black communities, particularly in the Deep South. Especially in areas like Cancer Alley, Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
He made everything a fight for liberation, including mm-hmm. his battle against colon cancer.
Absolutely.
I watched a video on C-SPAN of him when he was doing one of his very last environmental justice workshops at Howard University. He was obviously suffering from colon cancer at the time. He was very thin. His cheekbones were sunken in, but he was working literally until his last breath to educate all people, but particularly young people, about the issue of environmental racism so that the problems could continue to be solved beyond, you know, his passing, and that his legacy could continue.
Absolutely. Let me just jump in and say, Asha, as you and I know, Damu's birthday is December 6th.
Yes.
So let's see if we can have another show where we don't have to be so rushed. In honor of his birthday, December 6th, Mario just shared with us their organization is doing something December 5th.
Yes.
So maybe we could link that all together. And not last, but we must never forget, and those of us who knew Damu will never forget, the work that he did for the people of Gaza in Palestine.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Yes.
And many of us can remember when he called in from Gaza onto PFW. He was very sick, but he was there fighting for peace and justice for the people of Gaza.
Yes. So. And for those who don't know, those Palestinian doctors were actually the ones who diagnosed him, I believe, with colon cancer.
Right.
He collapsed while he was protesting on the West Bank. So, yes, he fought many causes. He fought for the Palestinian people, for Palestinian liberation. He fought against the Iraq War. That's why he founded Black Voices for Peace in response to the Bush administration's decision to go to war with Iraq. So there's so many things, but
yes.
For people who don't know, because I know we don't have time, please visit the Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial Library. On the fourth floor, they have a wonderful exhibit of freedom fighters and activists who are DC based. My dad was international, but they have a beautiful photo of him on the fourth floor of the Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial Library that you can see. And there's an interactive portion where you can learn more about his work with the National Black Environmental Justice Network as well.
Wow. Well, maybe we could have a PFW tour of that fourth floor at some point.
Yes.
And I'll just say this real quick. Damu left me many assignments. One of his assignments, and I follow his assignments all the time, but one of his assignments, he asked me to really help make the community more aware, especially Black people in this community, of the importance of getting a colonoscopy.
Yes.
So I'm actually in touch with someone who does that at Howard University. We will be following up with that sometime in the future. But let's jump to the Damu Environmental Justice Awards that
yes.
now take place every year at the American Public Health Association convention. I used
yes.
to never miss those conventions for decades, but these days I haven't been able to go. But every year now, I don't know how many years it's been, Asha. Has it been?
I believe it's been about 10.
Yes.
I apologize to N.C. Witherspoon if I'm wrong about that, but yes, I believe it's been 10 years.
10 years. Yes, 10 years. At APHA convention every year now, some environmental justice activist is given this Damu Smith Award. So this is actually happening tonight. Tell us, Asha, what's happening this evening and who is getting the award, the Damu Smith EJ Award this year?
Yeah, so as you said, the American Public Health Association is having their conference tonight, and they will be giving out the Damu Smith Environmental Achievement Award.
Mm-hmm.
And this will be taking place at 6:30 tonight at the Walter E. Convention Center, and it is open to the public. So if you were a friend of my dad, if you work closely with him, please feel free to join us and show support, not only to this award being in my dad, Damu Smith's name, but also for the wonderful awardee. Her name is Sharon Groves, and she is actually a graduate of my recent alma mater, UDC.
Mm.
Yes, and she has done wonderful work in environmental justice. She received the EPA's Environmental Justice Collaborative Problem Solving Grant, and she does a lot of work with water scarcity. She does work to mitigate water scarcity and to help provide indoor plumbing for residents, particularly in an impoverished rural community in Charles County, Maryland. But she also provides supportive services for homeless youth in Charles County. So she's a wonderful and well-worthy recipient of the Don Moo Smith Environmental Achievement Award. And our family is very grateful that the APHA continues this award in his name to keep his name lifted and remembered.
Absolutely. And we need to do that more on PFW as well.
Yes. Thank you, Joni, though, for key. I really appreciate you for opening up your platform always for us to keep him remembered, and even for me to come on and talk about some of the things.
Well, it's my honor. And as I always say, Damu continues to give me my marching orders. He was very much influential in this fabulous Ropes and Gala on Saturday night. I always hear Damu and AC Bird telling me what we need to do. So, but let's just repeat again to people, this event is happening tonight. It's totally free. Yes. Anyone can go, whether you knew Damu or not. Yes. But especially people who are really interested in environmental justice, because there'll be a whole crowd there who are environmental justice activists.
Yes.
And not just the person getting the award, but it would be a good way for people to meet other environmental justice activists. So explain again. I'm sure people know where the convention center is, but if you can remember the street name, but
yes. Okay. So it will be at the Walter E. Convention Center. Let me just make sure. It is on 801 Allen Y. Lou Place Northwest, Washington, D.C. 20001. Mm-hmm. And the exact location in the convention center is East Salon F. And I guess I can give out my email if there are people who want to come who will have issues. I know we're short on time, but if you are on social media, you can message me. It's at Asha Moore Smith, at Asha M-O-O-R-E dash or hyphen S-M-I-T-H, with any questions about the location, if you are available and are interested in coming. And our family, the Smith family, members of my dad's family will also be there, including his niece, Deidre, who is also presenting at the American Public Health Association conference, I believe. She's also in public health.
Yes.
So, absolutely. We'd love to have you. We'd love
and
to see
time,
you.
And the time again is 6:30.
6:30 p.m. Yes.
Okay. Now we're rushing because before we leave, Asha, of course, is her own person and does many things, and she really is an artist, and she's a vocalist and a singer, and we have enough time for her to share a little bit. We're going to hear a beautiful song that she has written, and she's going to sing. We're going to hear a recording of her singing, but Asha, I call this song Asha's song. That's my name for your song. But tell us about this little song, a little bit about this song, and then we're going to listen to it.
Yeah, so the song is Still Me. So when I was at UDC, I was studying both music and digital media. So classical voice and piano. And I worked on this song with another artist named Jay Loft, who was one of my classmates at UDC at the time, now graduated. It's a song that I co-produced. I didn't make the beat, but I did co-produce it. And it's a very spiritual song. I'm encouraging people in the song through singing and rapping and playing piano to walk in the spirit of power, love, and of a sound mind that God has given us. And I just hope that people are inspired by it. Even if you don't understand it the first time you listen, just listen again. It is available on Apple Music and Spotify and on YouTube. Still Me by Asha Hadia and J. Loft. And I thank you, Joni, for being willing to play it. But it's encouraging. It's encouraging people to just be confident in themselves. Again, walk in the spirit of power, love, and of a sound mind that God has given us. And that's what my dad would want me to do.
Absolutely. And if you hadn't shared this song, I always think of your dad playing, "When Will There Be a Harvest for the World?"
Oh, by the Isley Brothers.
So that's what I might have played, but I'm happy to play this song. And again, your dad definitely played music throughout, very powerful music throughout his show. Before we listen to the song, I want to first thank, of course, Magic Mike, who without Magic Mike here, it would be very hard for me and many of the others of our morning talk show people to do what we do. So we give a big shout out and hugs to Mike Nasella. I also want to encourage you to stay tuned for the next show, Mark Thompson, Make It Plain. And last but not least, I'm going to give a shout out to New York City, where the election's tomorrow, where my hometown, hopefully will be bringing in a wonderful new mayor by the first name of Zoran. Zoran Mondani. So very exciting tomorrow. Today, we'll watch and see what happens in New York. But meanwhile, we're here in Washington, D.C., and we have many fights to fight. We need to keep our spirits up. And again, Asha, thank you for everything that you do.
Thank you, Joni. I love you, and God bless you.
Love you, too. And we love the audience as well. You're very much a part of the reason why we produce these shows for all of our listeners. So let's hear Asha's song, Still Me.
I am still me. Trying to dim the light, I know you feel me. See me shining bright, they want to throw shade. Never again will I be afraid. Came a long way and I'm still me.
Still me.
Trying to dim the light, I know you feel me. See me shining bright, they want to throw shade.
Came a long way from the bottom. We have our problems. Bigger pills harder to swallow. I gotta make it regardless. Harder to challenge. Leads to a greater tomorrow. Never been perfect. Moments weakened and worthless. Questions often occurred when I would question my purpose. Thought myself out of blessings. Didn't think I deserved it. My mind was locked like a. It took some people who to free me up from my. I learned the real ones. Even when we go through. Came a long way and I'm still me. In the light, I know you feel me. See me shining bright, they wanna throw shade. Never again will I be afraid.
Came a long way and I'm still me.
Still me.
Trying to dim the light, I know you feel me. See me shining bright, they wanna throw shade. Never again will I be afraid.
I walk in the spirit of power, love, and of a sound mind. Everything comes divine time. Take what's mine. This is when passion and purpose align. Confusion and doubt no longer my portion. Join in my faith to what God has endorsed and answer the call. Surrender your gifts. Steward them well. Receive the anointing. Timeless knowledge and wisdom is shining from within. Energy ageless. Health, wellness, and glowing skin. Generational blessings victorious over sin. Releasing pain from the past and racking up these wins. The weapon of silence killing with kindness. Crushing the hands of snakes in the grass. You heard it before, the last shall be first and the first shall be last. Rebuking the serpent, disguising itself as an angel of light. Using the word as my sword, discerning what's right from what was right. Covered with mantles, lying in green pastures with spiritual leverage. Flawed as the messenger, but take heed to the message.
Came a long way and I'm still me. Trying to dim the light, I know you feel me. See me shining bright, they wanna throw shade. Never again will I be afraid.
The soul of West Africa lands at Brentwood Arts Exchange's Listening Room on Friday, November 7th at 8 p.m. with Cheikh Amala Jabate. A master of the Ngori, the traditional West African lute, Jabate weaves stories through rhythm and song, blending ancient sounds with a modern spirit that moves both heart and feet. Details at pgparks.com. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Award-winning former police officer and criminal justice adjunct professor Garland Nixon hosts News Views Fridays at 6 p.m. Tune in to hear a refreshing angle on today's state of affairs and other issues other media intentionally overlook. Find the episodes on iTunes Podcast and Google Play Music. Only on your station for Jazz and Justice, 89.3 FM, Washington.
Our problem is that we got too many folk in the middle who are lukewarm. Indifference, the evil's more insidious than evil itself.
That's Cornel West speaking on behalf of a mobilization this Wednesday, November 5th, the one-year anniversary of Trump's election. As Trump shreds the rule of law, sends the military into our streets, and terrorizes brown-skinned people, we are facing fascism. This is why on November 5th at 11 a.m. at the National Monument on the National Mall, RefuseFascism.org, Flair, The Handmaid's Army, Now, and many others will declare the Trump fascist regime must go now. This protest and march will kick off a sustained, nonviolent movement that grows from thousands to millions, not stopping until the people's resistance creates such a profound political crisis that Trump is removed from power. Again, the protest is at 11 a.m., Wednesday, November 5th, at the National Monument on the National Mall. More information is available at RefuseFascism.org.
Equal Portions is delighted to join Jazz and Justice Radio, WPFW, every Monday at 1 p.m. We're talking everything food justice, interviewing folks across all sectors, and playing the hottest new DMV music with your host, Stacia Lamira.
Hey, y'all. On Equal Portions, we'll be discussing all aspects of the way we interact with food, from the problems affecting our communities to the history and the story of the food around us and the local individuals within the food community. That's Equal Portions, Mondays at 1 p.m. on WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
How to get WPFW swag in your life? Items that say, I support Jazz and Justice without saying a word. We've got you covered. Details and browsing at WPFWFM.org. Again, that's WPFWFM.org.
No social justice issue or movement can escape the spotlight of the Latino Media Collective. The Latino Media Collective delivers consequential coverage from the biggest countries in South America to the smallest enclaves of Central America and the Caribbean, and is available on SoundCloud, iTunes Podcast, and Google Play Music. The Latino Media Collective is recorded in WPFW studios and airs Fridays at 1 p.m. on WPFW, Washington.
The Capital Area Food Bank is offering free food distribution for federal workers starting now until the government reopens. Federal employees and contractors will need to show a government work ID to receive food. Distribution times and sites are as follows. Tuesdays, 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. at No Limits Outreach Ministries, 7721 Barlow Road, Hyattsville, Maryland. Wednesdays, 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. at So What Else, 6116 Executive Boulevard, North Bethesda, Maryland. Fridays, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at United Community, 7511 Fordston Road, Alexandria, Virginia. Fridays, 11 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. at Urban Outreach, 5343 C Street, Southeast, Washington, D.C. Saturdays, 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. at Linda Benn Foundation, 10739 Tucker Street, Beltsville, Maryland. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Sego, this is John Kane, and I want to invite you to join me right here on WPFW on Fridays at 2 p.m. for Let's Talk Native. I will deliver guests and commentary each week on the real-life issues facing Native people. No romanticizing and no Hollywood stereotypes here. We'll talk real history and culture and life as it is and as it should be. Our shows are available as podcasts on your favorite podcast platforms and as videos on our Let's Talk Native TV YouTube channel. Find links and more at our website, www.letstalknative.com. And I'll see you here Fridays at 2 p.m. for Let's Talk Native with John Kane.
Good news, family. You can now take WPFW everywhere you go with our brand new WPFW radio app. Stream Jazz and Justice live,